John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, January 2nd, 2013. Israeli soldiers attack fishermen in Gaza and arrest residents from the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Israeli Navy opened fire on Wednesday morning at a number of Palestinian fishing boats at the coast of Khan Yunis and Rafah in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Local sources reported that the army fired dozens of rounds of live ammunition at the fishing boats and forced the fishermen to return to their docks. The sources added that the Navy chased the fishermen despite the fact that they were in the allotted area allowed for Palestinian fishermen. As part of the ceasefire agreement that ended the Israeli war in Gaza in November 2012, Palestinian fishermen were allowed to fish within 6 nautical miles of the Gaza coast. 191 Palestinians, including children, women and elderly, have been killed by Israeli military fire in Gaza in November, including those killed during the war, while the number of injured Palestinians in the same month reached 1,492. Elsewhere, Israeli soldiers kidnapped on Wednesday at dawn four Palestinian former political prisoners in the Beit Umar town north of the southern West Bank city of Hebron. Several residents were wounded during clashes that took place with the invading soldiers. Local sources reported that among those arrested were Yusuf Abu Maria, an activist with the Popular Committee Against the Wall and Settlements. Moreover, since the first hours of the new year, Israeli settlers carried out numerous attacks against Palestinian property and lands in different parts of the occupied West Bank and wrote racist graffiti, Palestinian sources reported on Wednesday. Dozens of armed settlers invaded Kassara village east of the northern West Bank city of Nablus, surrounded and broke into one home, cut and uprooted around 200 olive trees and spalings. The settlers also invaded Karyud village near Nablus and violently attacked the resident identified as Hassan Youssef, 55, causing serious injuries. In Hebron, a number of settlers invaded Idna town and burned a tractor and a car and wrote racist graffiti north of the town. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, January 2nd news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis, Amni Ghassam Bannoura.
Afghanistan, 29th of December. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unreported nationality from an IED blast in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, 1st of January. A mercenary of unreported nationality contracted by U.S. and NATO forces died from a non-battle-related injury. Afghanistan, 2nd of January. A U.S. drone strike killed two people. NATO claims one of them was a Taliban commander, but of course there was no trial. Afghanistan, 24th of December. Another insider attack, this time by a woman, killed an American mercenary at Kabul police headquarters. A second insider attack the same day killed five police officers. Afghanistan, 26th of December. Suicide car bomb detonated at forward operating base Chapman and Coast, killing three Afghans and wounding seven. Afghanistan, 18th of December. A teenage man kept as a sex slave by an Afghan border police commander drugged the commander and 10 more cops, then shot them in their sleep. He killed eight of them. Afghanistan, 30th of December. Nine NATO oil tank trucks were burned after a bomb exploded in one of them. They were parked at Jalalabad Airport, which is used only for war and is the second largest U.S. airbase in Afghanistan. Jalalabad has been notorious as an occupation airbase since Afghanistan's war with the Soviet Union. Yemen, 30th of December. Another U.S. drone strike killed three people suspected of being Al-Qaeda members. That's suspected. Not convicted. No court, no jury, just an executioner in the sky. Afghanistan, 2012. The number of Afghan soldiers killed by the Taliban rose for the fifth year in a row. Iraq, New Year's Eve. Al Jazeera reports that at least 23 people were killed and far more wounded in a brutal blitz of sectarian attacks, many against Shiite pilgrims. Houses were bombed, mortars hit the town of Latafia, and car bombs were detonated near Shiite pilgrims. Is this what George W. Bush meant by stabilizing Iraq? Mission accomplished? I don't think so. Mr. Barack Obama, Afghanistan shows little sign of being any more governable by foreign forces than Iraq was, with little more chance that foreign occupation can turn war into peace. But now is the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home today.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. On the 26th of December, a fourth person was arrested for refusing to snitch to a Seattle grand jury investigating Occupy protesters and anarchists. Maddie Pfeiffer, like Matt Duran and Kedio Olgenik, is being held for refusing to snitch. Matt and Kedio have been held since September, and their imprisonment set off a storm of retaliatory attacks by anarchists. Now the arrest of Maddie has renewed the blitz of punitive attacks on law enforcement and the wealthy. Berkeley, California, 26th of December. A Bank of America bank branch was trashed, with door locks glued and ATMs disabled. The following communique then appeared on www.anarchistnews.org. Bank vandalism in solidarity with grand jury resistors. We glued the locks on all four doors and all the slots on the two ATMs of a Bank of America in Berkeley, California. On the wall of the bank, we wrote, "Warriors, stay silent. Stay strong and fierce, comrade. Yours for the silent ones, some vandalists." Milwaukee, Illinois, 26th of December. About a dozen luxury cars had their tires slashed. The following communique then appeared on www.anarchistnews.org. "Solidarity with Maddie and all grand jury resistors. Roughly a dozen bourgeois assholes in the Milwaukee suburbs will wake up to find the tires slashed on their luxury vehicles. We hope that this small attack will bring some delightful schadenfreude to the imprisoned grand jury resistors. Freedom for Maddie, Kideo, and Matt. Signed, Krampus." Cleveland, Ohio, 28th of December. Graffiti was painted throughout the city in solidarity with the silent warriors who refused to snitch on their comrades. The following communique then appeared on www.anarchistnews.org. "Graffiti in Cleveland in solidarity with Maddie and Northwest Grand Jury resistors. Graffiti appeared throughout the city of Cleveland, Ohio this morning, expressing solidarity with Maddie and other comrades staying strong in their silence. The messages read, 'Free Maddie, fuck a grand jury. Say nothing.info. Solidarity with Northwest Grand Jury resistors and the like. Stay strong. You're an inspiration. More to come. Hey, prosecutors and grand juries, you want more of this? You want your masters to be attacked again and again like they were last September? If not, release Maddie Pfeiffer, Matt Duran, and Hideo Ojanik unconditionally and still without charges, and end the witch hunt in Seattle against Occupy and anarchists. Otherwise, the history of these attacks indicates they will continue."
Fucking Democrats talking about gun control. Ask Anaheim pigs what them guns are for. First thing a dictatorship does, ban guns. First thing a real democracy do, ban drones. I'm a dreamer, wanna live in a world without guns popping. Not a world where only the cops got them. Wanna know where the US is headed? Look to Greece, where immigrants are terrorized by the fascist police. And when the shit hits the fan, they want you helpless, unable to defend yourself against state violence. Fuck that, if you ask me, it ain't about guns. It's about the way we fall beneath the cracks as the world turns. Alienation, hyper-individualism, death of communities, social service systems. Americans are stressed out, more so than the rest of the West. And the media is greedy, so they blow it up. Advertisement booms and Wolf Blitzer might get a Pulitzer. This TV mass murder's out for fame. Why I wanna know Jake Holmes' name? They provide the oxygen for these toxic flames. News is for profit, the world is insane. It's what they did in Sweden, no more coverage in press. No mass deaths, no copycats lacking mental health. Go to Iraq, kill kids, that's fighting terror. Psychopath, go to school and slaughter kids and it's murder. No logic, we celebrate Columbus Day. Violence is how the state treats poor community. This shit is close to my heart, my wife's a school teacher. And my homie saw Batman the opening night in Denver. Secondhand friends got that Jake Holmes treatment. In Iraq, 100,000 got that Jake Holmes treatment. I'm in the gun, but I'm hella glad so many of my homies have some. If you're being robbed in your home, the police won't come fast enough. And rapists won't rape no more if you blast them up. Yup. Stop looking for simple solutions to complex problems. There's 300 million of us in this country, and we are all alone. In this world, all you got is your problems. And the Facebook status update won't solve them. We're working more hours for less money. People living here got more stress than any Western country. Break down a community, family is a symptom of that. If your brain is a mess, we got Prozac for that. Modern psychiatry is little more than drug dealers. Only rich kids can afford it. This is a song about alienation, about a mental care system that don't address problems. Hyper-individualism, how capitalism turns men and women into nodes in a digital world where people don't
don't talk no more. In the streets, people don't walk no more. Everyone's a zombie on a smartphone, playing military shoot 'em up games in the comfort of your home. I don't like guns, but I fired them before. But it ain't gonna fix what's sick. It's not like in the hood, folks are waiting 60 days for a license. You buy that shit hot and scrape off the serial numbers. What if in the 60s guns were banned? No beacon defense protecting blacks from the Ku Klux Klan. No Black Panthers, no civil rights, no end to British rule, no prospect for class war here. To the core, these are symptoms. Who do you blame when the killers are also the victims of a civilization in steep decline? We don't look out for you and yours. You're all alone. You're all alone. You're all alone. You're all alone.
You got yourself, 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 yourself. You got yourself, yourself, yourself. You got yourself, yourself, yourself. You got yourself.
Whale wars are on again. Four Sea Shepherd ships are at sea right now, hunting the illegal whale poaching fleet out of Japan. The four Sea Shepherd ships are based in Australia. The whalers got an injunction from a Japanese-American judge in the United States, but this court has no jurisdiction over ships based out of Australia fighting in the Southern Ocean. Sea Shepherd has sworn not to allow the murder of a single whale this year.
The anti-whaling activist ship, the Sea Shepherd, has been ordered by a US court to stay at least 450 metres away from whaling vessels. The order was sought by the institute which undertakes the Japanese government's whaling program. The injunction ordered the Sea Shepherd and Captain Paul Watson not to physically attack or endanger the whaling ships. Captain Watson joins us now from the Steve Irwin vessel. Good morning, Captain Watson.
Good morning.
Now, were you expecting this sort of ruling?
No, the judge, Richard Jones, in February denied this preliminary injunction and set the trial for next September to rule on it. And then a couple of days ago, an email came from one of the other judges granting the injunction to the Japanese. Our lawyers said that's completely unprecedented, and they were taken completely by surprise. They never heard of such a thing happening before. And it's also very strange. I mean, what authority does the U.S. court have over Dutch and Australian vessels with a crew from 26 countries operating out of Australia, New Zealand, in international waters?
Well, it does seem bizarre. Will you abide by the ruling then, I suppose, is the obvious question?
Well, we have the lawyers looking at it right now. It's a very complex thing, but you know, we're committed to protecting these whales in the sanctuary, and that's what we're here for. It's Operation Zero Tolerance. Last year, they only took 26%. The year before, 17%. We're trying for 0%. Last year, we cost them $20.5 million in losses. They threw $30 million into this kitty that they took from the Tsunami Relief Fund just to oppose us. And with that, they pretty much bought an army of lawyers to come after us. They come after me personally. They come after Sea Shepherd. But, you know, we expected this kind of opposition. I mean, Japan's one of the, you know, the most powerful countries in the world, so they're not going to take it lightly. But we're not taking the fact that they're killing whales in the Southern Ocean lightly either.
So, should you have to comply with this order, what restrictions would it place on techniques?
Well, I don't know what they'd say about attacking us. The only attacking that's been going on down there is the Japanese collided with and ripped one of our ships in half and destroyed it and almost killed six people, and they didn't even have to answer to the Australian investigating authorities over that. They just ignored it. So they don't have to answer for anything they do, and yet we're supposed to abide by a U.S. court ruling in these international waters. So it's all very bizarre. Also, the fact is that the Japanese are operating in contempt of an Australian federal court ruling, and the U.S. Ninth District Court said that Australia's federal court ruling was irrelevant to them.
I see. Well, what makes the U.S. court ruling relevant to you?
Well, that's the question. I mean, the whole thing is really bizarre. So, I mean, can they stop us? No, they can't enforce us. But if we were to do something like that. But, you know, we have, since 1977, we've done what we've done nonviolently and within the scope of the law. We've never been convicted of a crime. So it is a challenge to us because we want to stay within the law because that's what we're trying to do up here is uphold international conservation law. But it seems to me that the law has, in this case, in the U.S., has taken a very biased view on this particular thing. And, of course, it doesn't help that the judge that ruled on this is a Japanese-American judge, you know, who decided to overturn Judge Richard Jones's ruling.
So is there any are there any grounds for appeal then?
Well, by the yeah, we could, but by the time the appeal would be heard, would be, you know, too late, really. And they probably knew that. So, I mean, they've invested millions of dollars in trying to get sway the Ninth District Court. And the fact is, the Ninth District Court never expedites any appeal decision, so this is highly unusual. So obviously there's some influence somewhere, I don't know what. But, you know, it's not our intention to violate any laws if we can do it, but we do have a commitment. But also, I've always said that, you know, there's three things that allow us to be successful. That's passion, courage, and imagination. So we really got to exercise some imagination to find out a way to do this and stay within the law. But we're not going down there to hang banners and take pictures. We're going down there to prevent whales from being killed.
Well, just in finally, will you comply with the order?
Well, I can't say, you know, exactly what we're doing at this point because we have lawyers looking into this and whether the order is even relevant to us. But we're going to try and find ways of complying with the order at the same time as being effective. But we cannot allow them to kill whales, and we're not going to. We're going to stand very firm on that, no matter what the consequences are.
It's 22 minutes to 9 o'clock here on RN Summer Breakfast, where we're joined by Paul Watson, captain of the Sea Shepherd. Just finally, Paul, how do you assess at the end of each season the success of the operation?
Actually, we can rely on the Japanese themselves because they come back and whine and complain about how successful we have been. And last year, they took only 26% of their kill quota. The year before that, 17%. And last year, they said that we cost them $20.5 million in U.S. dollars in losses. So they're the ones that actually tell the world just how successful we've been.
Indeed. Well, we certainly look forward with great interest as to how the battle will be enjoined again this season. Paul Watson, thank you very much for taking the trouble to join us this morning.
Thank you.
Paul Watson, Sea Shepherd Captain, joining us there.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQT Radio at hushmail.com.